We started a message series called Soul Care. Nick did an incredible job. I'm going to invite you to listen to it. If you didn't hear it, it's on our website, about guard your heart. I want to talk about, I don't have any notes today, by the way. Our internet is all cuckoo, and I'm a new guy on all the PowerPoint stuff, so there's no notes today. There's just a free-flowing thing. You happy about that? Yeah, looks like Jim is really excited. So I want us to lock on to one thought here, and then we'll launch into it. Psalm 124, verse 8 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth." Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. One more time. Our help is where? In what? The name. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. God has revealed His character, His mighty acts, Himself through His names. The stories that are behind those names reveal to us the depth of our need, and God reveals Himself over a period of time with another name, and another name, and another name, and another name, and another name. And what happens is our help is in the name of the Lord. Now, you have a need, and for your need there is a name. When you have a need, one of the names will meet the need. And when you lay hold of the name of the Lord that meets your need, faith will rise. And we're going to look at a few of the names, just a few of them, kind of cherry pick a few. You know the name, in the beginning God, that's Elohim. And Elohim is plural. It's not a singular, it's a plural term, Elohim. In the beginning God, in the beginning us, we. That's why it says we made man in our image. And way back when Moses was going, but who am I going to say sent me? When he was up on the mountain and God was dealing with him about going, and you know, he tried to get out of that way every which way he could. Five different excuses. And finally God says, who shall I say sent me? He says, Elohim. God says, tell him, Yahweh, or I am. Yahweh. Or it's actually a tetragram. It's the four letters, YHWH. Weren't supposed to say the terms. What happened in the English language is we turned that into Jehovah. Yahweh and Jehovah, same thing, interchangeable. But the English translations begin to change that. So, and Jehovah just simply means existing one, the existing one. So when you see Jehovah Nisi, you see the existing one, who is the banner. Each of these names have, when you add a name to it, like Rohi, as you saw in the video, the Lord is our shepherd. You see an additional thing. And so the concept that I want us to lay hold of today is that you have a need and He has a name. And He has a name to meet that need. And I want us to refresh our hearts with the revelation of who He is for us. She was a pregnant woman in the desert, driven away. It was sister wives gone wild. How did Hagar end up out there? Sarai, who was not named Sarah yet, was trying to control the destiny of the faith and said, I can't have a baby, so Abram, I'll give you Hagar and make her your wife. And then she conceives, and Hagar now kind of looks over there at Sarai, and there's this contempt thing going, and the family feud begins, and Abraham says, do what you want. Next thing you know, Hagar's out in the desert, pregnant, and an angel shows up. Behold, you will name the child Ishmael. Ishmael means God listens. He's the seed of Abraham. Says, I'm going to multiply him too. But he basically says, I want you to go back and submit your life to Abram. in the Sarai, and she named the place El Rohi, the God who sees, or who the seeing God who knows where I am. Have you ever been in a mess? And maybe not of your own making. Circumstances happen to us. And you know, our first temptation, like her, is to feel all alone and abandoned and forsaken and out there in the desert by ourselves. How am I going to take care of this? What's going to happen to me? How am I going to deal with all this? I don't know what to do. And God shows up and says, I see you. I'm the God who sees you. It doesn't matter what predicament you find yourself in, the God, the seeing God, the God who identifies where you are and has a way for you. Are you there? Let's praise the Lord just for a minute. Lord, I don't know where your people are today, but you see. In fact, Lord, you also see, just like you're on the inside of us, and like you're watching the play of our life from the inside. You know all of our inward actions and motivations and thoughts. The intimacy is off the charts. And I pray today, Lord, that there would be great comfort, not shame, but great comfort. If there's need inside, that the assurance of you seeing and knowing what to do for us would manifest today. And great help would come, just as you put in her life, because this is your name. Hallelujah. Where there's a need, there's a name. Later on, there was a test. And Abraham was, years later, is kind of God's this amazing fella, because he waits until Sarah doesn't have any eggs in her body, and until Abraham doesn't have any sperm in his. He's just a hoot. God says, you're going to have a son of promise, and I'm going to show you, and it's not going to come from your natural ability, it's going to come from my supernatural ability. You ever been in a place where you just need God to do something and you just out of it? I'm not going to confess anything personally right now. But it's been a long season. And you know what happened is, it was such a long season for them. And then now God gives them Isaac. And that's a wonderful, fun story in the Bible, because the angel of the Lord shows up, and Sarah is behind the tent door, and he says, by this time next year you're going to have a baby, and she busts out laughing. And the Lord says, I heard you laughing. She says, no, I'm not. And she's, because laughter means, Isaac means laughter, says, you're going to name the baby after this moment right here. Named a baby, he who laughs. Named him Isaac. And when Isaac was born, Abraham now is named Abraham, and he gives his heart so to this boy, the son of promise. Abraham gives his heart so over to Isaac. There is such a bond, and it's so tight. The son of promise waited all those years to get this boy. He's so into the relationship that it's like God no longer exists. The promise that came was so fulfilling and so deep and so wonderful that now God has moved out of the picture. Have you ever had done that? A long-waited, fulfilling thing happens in your life, and you just wrap, you're so excited that now God's kind of just fades out of the picture. And so God wants to test Abraham. In Genesis 22, we see the test. He says, I want you to take your son of promise, and I want you to take him up on the mountain. This is a weird day for Isaac. You know, that the Bible doesn't record them talking a lot much after that. You don't really see much about them hanging out too much, you know. Dad, what are you doing with the knife? Why are you tying me up on the altar? And he goes up there. And as he's lifting the knife, the voice of the Lord says, stop. I know that your heart now, that you will do this. And it was a picture, right? It's a picture. What's the picture of? Father God sacrificing Jesus, his son. The picture's done. And there's a ram in the thicket, and he brings the ram out. And there's a name, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Whenever the Lord asks you to sacrifice something, he has something better in mind. The Lord provides. Is that the name that you need? Because if with every need, the Lord has a name. And if you need the name the Lord provides, then Jehovah Jireh is your God. Do you need that? It's usually when you're about his business and you've gone further than you can and you need a resource that you don't have. I think that we need Jehovah Jireh. Let's praise the Lord again. Hallelujah. For our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. They were a really, really bad people, the Amalekites. The Amalekites were a wicked, wicked sort. They would walk up behind where the Israelites were walking, and any straggler, if it was a sick person and they were lagging behind because they were sick, or if they were elderly and they're lagging behind because they're elderly, or if they were a child and they're lagging behind because they're a child, they would be picked off by this wicked, wicked people, the Amalekites. And God made a, basically said, we're going to just abolish them. They were so represented the devil. Could you imagine God says, I'm going to wipe these people off the face of the earth because they really represent the devil. Don't get in that camp. Don't become one who only shows up to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't be one of those people. And there's going to come a big battle. And they're down there, and the Amalekites are all gathered together, and God has Moses up on the hillside. And there's Joshua with the army down there. And this is the most incredible picture of spiritual warfare, prayer, and intercession. Because when Moses' hands are lifted in praise, Joshua wins. When his hands come down, the Amalekites start winning. He's got to keep his hands up in a state of worship. This battle's going on and on. Anybody ever found out that you can lift your hands and God wins battles for you? I have a verse on this. I'll find this one right quick. Let me show you some of these. Though you push down our foes, through your name we will tread down those who rise up against us. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. Let me find that one. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. In your name. Everybody say, in your name. In your name. I will lift up my hands. I will bless you as long as I live, and in your name I'll lift up my hands. And Moses got tired, and you can get tired interceding. You can get tired physically, you can get tired emotionally. When you're standing in the gap and there's a battle going on and it's dependent upon you to be in prayer over it to see the final victory, it can be wearying, can it? You need somebody to join you in prayer, is that right? And Aaron and Hur came, and they said, Moses, here's what you're going to do. You're going to sit down on this stone right here, and you're going to sit there, and we're going to hold your arms up. Let's pretend you're him, and you hold one, and here he is. This is like Terry's Moses, and where they're holding his hands up. And you need someone to come along. And you know what he named the place? Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. Now, what's that mean? It's like the flag. The flag of victory that comes over the hillside. Yeah. You know how in the old days when the armies are coming over the hill, you don't know how many are, but you see that flag coming. That's right. You see that flag bouncing over the hill, and the Lord says, I am the Lord, your banner. Basically, I'm coming over the hill. I'm coming over the hill. I'm coming over the hill. You keep your hands up in praise. I'm coming to rescue you. Do you have a need? There's a name. The Lord, our banner. Oh, let's just praise him right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And Lord, you are the one who sees us where we are. You're the one who provides. You're the one who brings victory. We give you praise right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you have a moment when you have a great, great, great victory and right after that you have a real tough time? They had just crossed the Red Sea. And they were singing the song of Moses. We have triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider cast into the sea. And they're all jumping and shouting. Yeah, we can. And now we're thirsty. We got through the Red Sea, but we're thirsty now. We have Moses, is there something to drink around here? One day goes by, and there they are. Next day goes by. We sure could use some water. Next day, we're into this thing 3 days. We just had a massive victory, and now we need some water. And they got some water, but it tastes really bad. It's gross. It's bitter tasting. There's something amazing about you have a big victory, and you go right into a time where things are bitter. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? And there they are. And God says to Moses, see that tree over there? I want you to cut down that tree and throw it into the water. And he goes and cuts that tree, throws it into the water, and for some reason, the bitter water becomes sweet. And of course, this is a picture of the bitter places in your life and the bitter places in my life. And God's saying, I have provided a tree. It's called the cross of Calvary. And I have provided a place for bitterness to be taken out of your life through the application of the cross of Jesus Christ, where what was bitter to you will become sweet to you. And he has done that in my life over and over and over and over. I had many, many, many bitter memories. And you know what they say about broken emotional places in your heart? They create physical sickness. 85% of the sicknesses in the hospital are all based on emotional stuff. Hurts break down your immune system. It's amazing. And they put the tree in the water, and the water becomes sweet. And here's another revelation of the name of God. He says, he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Isn't it amazing that the healing is tied to the removing of bitter water, the bitter things of our life being taken away? And it's amazing, too, how you have a big victory and you end up in a bitter place. The cycle is phenomenal, isn't it? And he says, with this one, he says, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you will obey my commands, then none of these diseases will be upon you. I will remove all of these diseases, and you will be my people, and you'll be healthy. And he established the law, even simple things like don't wash your hands in stagnant water. Have it running. They didn't know about germs, but those kind of things were in the law. Real practical stuff. Jehovah Rapha. How many of you have had Jesus be your healer? Either spirit, soul, body. The full capacity of Jesus, the great physician, is manifest because he's done that work through for us through the cross. Let's just praise him again. Because if you have a need, there's a name. And he's the healer. Jehovah Rapha is the healer. For all the healing that has to do with the bruises of the mind, for the hurts of the heart, for the burdens of the soul, for the woundings in the body, all those areas are covered because Jehovah Rapha said, none of these diseases, I will bring healing to you. Everybody say this with me. Where there's a need, there's a name. And God wants us to lay hold of him. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let's praise him again. Hallelujah. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Magnify, I pray. Magnify, I pray, Lord, for each person here, the needs in the room. We just ask that it would be locking on to what you have. Praise you, Jesus. He was in the wine press weird place to be when you're threshing out wheat, hiding from the Philistines and stuff, you know, all the different enemies that would hang out in the caves in the hillside, and they'd spot when your plants were coming up and they'd run down and rip you off. And the Midianites were doing this, and they were coming against Gideon and coming against all them. And this Gideon's in there, and he's like, this angel shows up and says, "Oh, Gideon, my, you know, mighty, valiant warrior, you know." And Gideon's like, "You got to be kidding me! I'm the least of the, basically the smallest tribe. We're all the little guys, you know. What are you talking to me for?" And Gideon is kind of like me and you in a lot of ways, because he wants a sign. How many of you just rise up, you hear one little whisper from God, and you go charging off? No, when you have such a bad self-image, you kind of like, are you sure? You need some proof. Is that right? So he says, I got to have a sign. I got to have a sign. So the angel of the Lord, representing Jesus, says, well, I'll hang out here with you. So he says, well, let me go make you some, he gets some meat and some unleavened bread and some broth, and he brings it out. After he's fixed all this food, he brings it out to give to this angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord takes the staff and says, put it on that rock right there. And he puts the meat, puts the unleavened bread, and pours the broth over it. And he touches it with a staff, and poof, it's all gone. Isn't that weird how the Lord ate that? He just poof. Anyway, that was the sign. For some reason, peace came over Gideon. Are you like that? When the Lord shows you something before you do what he asks you to do, you feel more peace than you did. He shows you, I'm with you. In some way, he does something that causes you to grow in some confidence before you go off and do the thing. The thing that I really need a lot of is the peace of God. How about you? When you're starting to go off to do something big like Gideon did, to turn the whole nation around, to turn something around, you need some evidence of peace. And this is where the name came, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. When the Lord calls you to do something you don't feel adequate for, the Lord says, I want to be your peace. How many of you have the need? There's a name to meet the need. How many of you need the Lord to be your peace? Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I feel the Lord want to, just close your eyes and lift your heads to the Lord. Just praise him and put your heart in a state of receptivity. This is what I saw. I saw the Lord coming to hover by the Holy Spirit, to hover over your life. There's things that happen when the Lord hovers over your life. In Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, it says the Holy Spirit came, and the Spirit of the Lord came and hovered over the face of the deep. And where there was confusion, it says there was chaos, and brought order. And God said, let there be light. That's one of the things that happens when the Lord hovers. Another thing is when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, there came the conception of something of the Spirit of God. And Jesus was beginning to be conceived in her womb. There's new things of life that begin to happen. Let's open to that. The Lord wants to take away chaos and come and hover over your life. And he wants to impart something new and birth something new. Let's praise him right now. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's a newfound liberty. And the Lord is here. Let's praise him, church. Praise him together with me. Hallelujah. So we bring our need. We declare your name. Hallelujah. You're the Lord who sees. You're the Lord who provides. You're the Lord who is our banner and our victory. You're the Lord who is our healer. You're the Lord who is our peace. And there's so much more. I cast all my cares upon you. When I lay all of my burdens down at your feet,
And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all of my cares upon you. I will cast all of my cares upon you. I will cast all of my cares upon you.
Once again,
I will cast all of my cares upon you. Ooh, when I lay all of my burdens down at your feet, ooh, and any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all of my cares upon you. I will cast all my cares upon you. I will cast all my cares upon you. I will cast all my cares upon you.
Want to sing it one more time? Let's take our hands and present. Whatever's going on in your life, let's present it to Him.
I will cast all my cares upon you.
Just hand it over.
I lay all of my burdens, ooh, down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do.
Sing it anytime I don't know.
And